What is up, our friends from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast once again coming at you live. I'm your host Tony, here with my Mortal Kombat co-host Leo. I don't know.
I'll take that as a compliment, I guess. We could get into that later.
I was really thinking of Ed Booning, like our Tech Yeah podcast in the beginning of this, but I got too shy.
You weren't quite prepared enough.
Yeah.
That would require some like real mental preparedness that we just weren't not quite there yet.
Maybe a couple takes. Maybe I needed to do a couple practice takes before we started.
Yeah.
But
we're doing it live, sort of.
Exciting week, kind of a slow news week, but a lot going on in the cinema world. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But before we do, Leo, what have you been playing this week?
So I played a lot of different games this week, but I know you're tired of hearing about this, but this was a big Resident Evil week.
Oh, great.
I know. Just bear with me. This will be interesting.
Love to hear it.
So last Saturday, as you recall, I played Resident Evil 8 demo after we recorded, and it was very cool. It's only half an hour. I'm sure you read about how weird their like demo practice was. They like put out half an hour here, but only for 8 hours, and then like another half an hour there. It was very weird and like kind of lame. It felt like they were trying to like generate false scarcity in kind of a way that felt sort of desperate, I guess. Maybe there was another reason for it, but that's all I could think of. But anyway, that aside, the game was awesome. It was really cool. It was beautiful, of course. That RE engine is just really doing some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in games, you know? Like, it really feels like it's just doing a lot of really cool stuff as far as photorealism in environments, particularly. Yeah, it's great. I'm really excited by it. And the half hour was great. It was very cinema heavy, but it was really cool and intriguing and mysterious. The performances are really good. I'm really excited to play that game in a couple weeks here.
Did you get stepped on by the big sexy lady?
No, she's not in the demo that I played.
What?
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm glad I didn't boot that shit up. What a waste of time.
But it did make me want to play Resident Evil 7, because this is a direct sequel to that. And Resident Evil 7 is the only one I never played, despite the fact that you actually gave it to me several years ago.
A gift of the gods.
Yeah. And I've tried to play it, but it's just too scary. Which is pretty cool for a horror game to be so scary in probably my favorite franchise, or certainly one of them, that I was just too scared to play it. Like, that's kind of a sort of high praise, you know? Yeah. So I was committed, and I decided before I play Resident Evil 8, I really do need to run through Resident Evil 7. And so I did. I was so scared that I used a guide, which actually helped a lot. I would just read a little bit ahead, because the problem with that game is it's so anxiety-inducing, because you're being kind of chased for a lot of it, and that shit stresses me out so bad. So using the guide actually allowed me to get through it, finally. And what a crazy-ass game, man. It's a really interesting game. I suspect you haven't played it, right? Because
no,
that's why
I definitely
you gave it
have,
to me.
I definitely have not touched that game. It is out of my wheelhouse, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally. It's very peculiar. It is very different than other ones in a lot of ways. I think what's fascinating about it, and I'm not the first one to come up with this, but it's really kind of pinpoints why this game is so interesting and why it feels so different. It was written both by a Westerner and someone from Japan. So it really feels like a fusion of West and East in a way that Resident Evil never has before. Resident Evil has always been deeply Japanese, despite it always taking place in America or the United States and other places. But it's always like, you know, it's one of those Japanese franchises that is very fascinated with the United States and like our government and like Metal Gear Solid, where it's just like a very interesting take on the United States. And this also takes place in the United States in Louisiana, but because it has, someone from the West who wrote it, it has a very different vibe that feels much more Western. The voice acting, the performances are exceptionally good, like really remarkable, which has never been true for Resident Evil game either. It was always so bad it's good, or just so over the top that it was entertaining. But this, the voice acting and performances are genuinely fascinating, really compelling, and of a really high level. Almost to the point where it was sort of off-putting. I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is not funny. It's actually quite scary and interesting and, like, disturbing. So that kind of took some getting used to.
That game looks fucking gross, dude.
It is gross. That's the other thing. So it starts off in this house, and the house is just disgusting. And what's interesting about this game is it actually gets less scary as it goes on, which is very weird. It like starts off at like 11 and then slowly ebbs down to like at 7, I would say. So the whole part where you're in the house, you're completely disempowered, you're fighting against your girlfriend and this horrifying, you know, family of cannibals, and you just have no fucking clue what's going on, is incredibly tense. But it's also, it does have that Resident Evil vibe. You're sneaking around, you're trying to find items, there's item boxes and save points, and it's still very much about inventory management. It just has a very different vibe. But the most important thing about this game, I think, is that it is absolutely terrifying. It really is one of the scariest games I've ever played. A lot of that's the first-person perspective. And a lot of that is the Eastern, I think it's Eastern, influence of the monster design, which is horrifying. This has some of the most disturbing imagery I've ever seen in a video game or a movie. There's one boss in particular, Marguerite, who is so scary-looking that I was like just freaking out while I was playing her in a way that I have not in a very long time.
What does she look like? What kind of monster is she?
So she's a human, but she has these terrifying elongated arms that are really creepy, and she has this like wasp's nest in her crotch, and she like crawls around on the walls and like shoots wasps out of her crotch at you, which sounds really dumb, but it's not. It's fucking scary. And the way she
talks, I might have gone out with her one time on, I think I met her on Tinder.
Yeah maybe. She just is really scary. It's hard to describe. And again, like, Resident Evil's always had kind of interesting monster designs, but these feel like very different.
And the fact Japanese that it's horror is so scary.
Like, it is, so but scary. But this fusion of the Western sensibilities of horror as well, like, it's very much influenced by Saw and Texas Chainsaw. Those two very much come to mind. But that combined with Japanese horror is really compelling and very unique and very unlike, unlike any other Resident Evil game, but also unlike any real horror game. They always are very distinctly Japanese or distinctly Western, you know? And this is very much a fusion of the two, and it's very effective. I believe it was Watch Out for Fireballs. There's another podcast I was listening to pointed out, it's kind of like Dark Souls, right? Which is a fusion of Western fantasy and Japanese storytelling. And that's also very compelling. That's kind of what this feels like. A really kind of neat take on these two cultures coming together in a very compelling way that I like.
Like sweet and sour chicken?
No.
Or California rolls?
I don't know. I don't know enough about cuisine to say. But I think you see my point, and you're probably right.
Exactly. Obviously, I see your point with those apt comparisons. Yeah,
with those dead-on analogies.
Too scary for me. I could never touch that game, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it is very scary. Like I said, it's a weird because it kind of goes downhill. Famously, there's like a halfway point where it kind of turns into another game, and it never gets bad, but it definitely, the part in the house is by far the most memorable and compelling, and there's so many cool set pieces and lines. There's a few things I don't like. I don't like the protagonist. I think he's about as dull as dishwater. He's just so unremarkable and lame and boring and has like no, he's just boring ass white guy. He was not interesting. So that was kind of a bummer. And then there were parts of the gameplay, while very scary and cool, that actually were just not very fun to play. And I think part of that's personal preference. I don't really like hiding from invulnerable monsters in games. I know Nemesis and Mr. X kind of are the same thing, but that's much more about like moving and hiding and fighting back versus just straight up hiding.
Yeah, you don't have to do that like hide in the locker thing, right? Which I don't like in games either.
Yeah,
like,
that's kind of this. You're never quite in a locker, but it's essentially that. Yeah,
like Outlast had a lot of that too, right? Where
yeah,
which is another game that I never really wanted to play, but was forced to. yeah, where you're just like, oh, I gotta just hide in this thing and do like the peek thing, and like Nemesis, yeah. I will agree, was a lot more like, I just gotta keep a clip going, right? I gotta keep him behind
or
me.
Or running, right?
Yeah,
even that's keep putting like in a work, little more right? interesting.
Yeah.
So there's some of that which I don't love. The like I said, there's this whole part on a ship that I find pretty dull. So it's definitely not a perfect game by any means, but it is absolutely terrifying. It's a very interesting take on Resident Evil, and again, I know this has been said before, but I do think it's really kudos to Capcom for just being like, hey, let's just try something completely different. Like, it's connected to Resident Evil, barely. But it's just so different. And to have the balls to take, you know, probably their most successful franchise, or certainly one of the top three, and just be like, yeah, six people didn't like it. We're just going to do something totally different. And maybe everyone will hate it. And they very well could have. And they didn't, which is great. But I just think that's so cool that they did that. And then it's also really cool that they also are doing the remakes alongside it. So you get the traditional Resident Evil stuff, which I adore, and is more fun to play for me. Like, I would way rather play RE2 Remake. It's much more fun. It's a very different experience, but it's really cool they're also doing this, and it's so unique, it has its own tone, and that, by all accounts, looks like it's going to continue in Resident Evil 8, so I'm really excited to update y'all on that in a few weeks.
Yeah, Capcom's really, you know, just been doing different things, you know, like, I think Monster Hunter World was a good indication of that, too, where they're, 100%. Like, really willing to flip these paradigms and make their games more interesting, and...
Take risks!
Yeah, take risks, who cares? I think, like, the, in my opinion, like, the theme of... like gaming in this past 5 years is like, who cares if the hardcore don't like it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I think where Overwatch kind of failed, or you know where it has been failing, and where other games like the Resident Evil series, Monster Hunter series, have succeeded so much is being like, we can't cater to, you know, in Overwatch the competitive, or in you know Resident Evil Monster Hunter like the hardcore raiders and stuff. Right? We can still make a game that is fun for them. That's fine, but you know. Kind of like bowing to purists has really only hindered game development, you know?
Yeah, and it's also not smart financially, right? I mean, your purists will buy it either way, and I don't think you should alienate. Like, that's why Resident Evil did such a good job, the remakes as well. It really got to the core of what makes that franchise compelling and just put a cool spin on it. And I think this did that as well to a lesser degree, and it kind of leaned into the stuff in Resident Evil I don't think is as fun, but this was also... 50 times scarier than any Resident Evil game I've ever played by a huge margin. So yeah, as a horror game, this is vastly superior.
If you have a vision and a voice, you can, no matter what you do to the game, it will still have that vision and voice. You know what I mean? Like you can get there any way you want. You can make a rock song or an opera song. If you are, you know, single-minded in your vision of what it should be or where it should end, you know, like it'll show. And I think that shows in those games.
Yeah. And it just shows an awareness of what works. And that's why I think Resident Evil 6 was just so unpleasant for me, is it just really did not lean into the core of what it leaned into all the wrong things of the franchise. And this kind of stripped away a lot of stuff I think is fun. Maybe went a little bit too far in the other direction, but it's still a vastly superior product and a very experimental one in a way that I'm not sure it actually got enough credit when it came out. It was very, very unique, interesting, terrifying game that definitely gave me nightmares, which I don't know if I've ever had a video game give me nightmares, certainly not in my 30s. Yeah, so that's what I played a lot of. The only other thing, the other side of that, is I also played the Resident Evil like multiplayer thing they keep trying to make happen for some fucked up reason. And it's just all the characters like shooting each other. And it was terrible, just as it looked like. It was really half-assed. It felt like a weird, like, it just felt like a shitty, generic third-person shooter with Resident Evil skins on it. And the Resident Evil skins are fun. Like, oh, I get to play as Jill Valentine and shoot Nemesis. That's always going to kind of get me going in terms of, hey, I love this. But the gameplay was terrible. It was so unbalanced, too. It was like, If you don't pick Claire, you lose. Which is as far I don't play a lot of multiplayer games, but I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to work that way.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that should, even if it's not supposed to, that's how it should work, right? Like Claire wins, everybody else loses. Game over. That sounds ideal. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
it's a simple setup. It's like, so you have weapons, and then they each have like powers. Like Chris can punch people. Jill can like lay down landmines for some reason. Claire has this like weird taser that shocks people and pins them, and that's why you can just kill them afterwards. And then if you die, you turn into a bioweapon of some kind. You can turn into a zombie or one of those gross tadpoles, or like Nemesis or Jack Baker, and then they have powers too. So it's kind of fun briefly, but it's like the opposite of Resident Evil 7 in that it feels incredibly phoned in, cashed in, and just bizarre. Like, why do they keep trying to do this? Why do they keep trying to make multiplayer Resident Evil? I don't understand this fascination with that. It's never worked. It's counter to everything the franchise stands for. It's so strange.
They're always so bad, right? Like, it's just always so bad.
Why? It's so mystifying. They just keep doing it, and every time it fails, and people are like, we don't want this.
Yeah.
Why do you keep making it? And they keep farming it out to other studios. Anyway, it's mystifying. So that was very unpleasant and unfun, and I'm glad I played that before RE7, because it kind of soured me on it. And then I played RE7 and was like, no, this shit is really of extraordinarily high quality. Despite
they should just have a Monster Hunter game that's Resident Evil, right?
Yeah, Sure, why
and
not?
You just hunt, you like hunt Nemesis and you like wear his skin as your armor for like the next fight.
Dude, right? That'd be and badass. You're just
running around with your knife and your gun.
Yeah.
Chasing Nemesis around.
Like, that would be awesome. That'd be so funny. And the skin's like hanging off because he's so big. Yeah. So it's more like a weird poncho.
Like you're wearing his head over your head like a helmet.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They should have a Resident Evil raid in Final Fantasy as well. Why not, right? You go into like the RPD, you have to fight zombies. That'd be awesome.
It could work. Why not? You know, they do some crazy stuff. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Outside of that, I played, you know, some other standard stuff. I did do some VR, which was fun. And I'm trying to, I think we talked a little bit on Discord. I'm trying to get back into working out. And I got this cool addition to the headset. I think it's very similar to the one you have, where it just makes it much more comfortable for the Quest 2. And it works great. So I downloaded some workout apps, and I've been doing Ring Fit again on the Switch, which I think is kind of a nice, simple but good baseline. You know, 20 minutes of that is like, you know, it's definitely exercise. It's not gonna make you incredibly in shape, but it's certainly better than doing nothing. And I really do believe in the idea of if you can make a fun video game that makes you exercise, I think that's gonna really revolutionize things. And we haven't gotten there yet, but it's always fun to dip back into that and explore it a little bit further.
Yeah, so much of it is just like the discipline to do it, you know, which is where I fail so hard. Yeah. But I do think Ring Fit is a great way to kind of establish that discipline and like, you know, take your time with it. Like, it's going to make you slow down and do all these stretches and like take the time between all these workouts and do these reps slowly. And I think, you know, giving you that structure and that window of time, I think really is really effective in what it's trying to do, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is like an easy way to get you to kind of think of it as a habit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's been fun. So I did do some VR. I did that, like, this racquetball game that's pretty cool, and played some more, just random VR games. Nothing super exciting to tell you about, but yeah, just a lot of Resident Evil this week, but I'd be love to hear about what you got up to. Did you play Resident Evil 7?
No, I didn't play Resident Evil 7 at all, because it's too scary, and I will never play it ever, so there.
Take that.
Take that. I you should get Thrill of the Fight, though, if you want to do VR working out.
Yeah, it is, and it's cheap. It's only 10 bucks, so I will $10.
It is too intense in some ways, right? Like, to the point where I feel like my arms are going to cramp up playing that game sometimes, right? Because you don't even know, like you're holding your arms up, you're throwing these punches, and you're trying to block, and you're kind of just into it. And then, like, after the match, you kind of let your arms rest, and you're like, "Oh my god, like they're gonna fucking like lock up on me!" Like, like I went way too hard. Yeah, it's great. It's a great game. But
yeah, that's cool. I'll definitely check it out. I'll report back in next week for sure.
So what did I play this week? I tried to jump back into Warzone because, you know, they had a like map change. I'm so disconnected with Warzone that like I played a couple rounds and was like, for one, I'm not really sure what's different other than there's a nuke in the background, like there's a mushroom cloud somewhere on the map, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not really sure what else they changed. It's supposed to be different, I guess, but not different enough. I mean, it's kind of hazy outside from the fallout, but yeah, other than that, I don't know. Warzone is it ran like shit for me, right? And it didn't in the past. And I don't know if
you're playing
like,
on PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me be like, I should just play this on PS5 if I want to try it, you know, because Warzone just runs bad, you know, like it's too much. And you know, what's weird is it normally just runs fine. And even when I was in it, it was running fine for the most part. And then like, I would try and turn the mouse really hard, like to the left, like to spin around. And it would just like, it would like chug and like lock up, like not lock up, but like it's almost like I was hitting a wall turning, right? Like it'd be like, I'm not ready to draw this yet, you know, and it'd be like, you can't go any further. And that killed me a few times. And I was just like, well, I don't know,
just don't turn, you don't need to turn.
Turn right when I didn't, it looked great and it played well. And you know, it's just this kind of thing of just like, I don't know, man, like this, it shouldn't be hard to make this work. You know what I mean? Like, I play other games. They run fine.
Especially
like, I don't
for
have
the biggest franchise, you know, in the world. Like, come on.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, it plays just fine for them. And then I go on Reddit and I'm like, you know, Warzone performance or Warzone lagging when turning or something. And it's just full of people being like, you know, I got a 1080 Ti. I got a a good processor, and you know, this game just dips frames hard, like at random times, and it's just like, yeah, it just seems like that game, you know. It's just not well optimized for PC, but it that is sucks. Cool. It's just, I just wish it wasn't so like volatile, you know,
and just bloated, like, you know, we talked about it last week, but the whole thing is just like, yeah, it's just so much.
Warzone only was like 90 gigs, you know. It's just like, man, this is
If you do want to put in your PS5, you basically gotta like clear out everything else. Man, it's your dedicated Warzone machine.
I mean, at least for now, you could run it off a USB drive, right?
Can you?
Which is not, because it's not a PS5.
Oh,
it's
a
PS4 game.
That's true.
So at least you could do that. At least you could throw like a terabyte USB drive
on there.
That's
true. That's a good point.
So I tried to play some Warzone. I did play some Apex. Like, playing Warzone, I was like, I should just play some Apex. And I did, and it was great and ran fine. I won a couple games. Felt pretty good about myself.
You going to get the mobile version?
I mean,
I bet you'll try it, but yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure I will try it. I've never had good luck with mobile shooters. I think the Call of Duty mobile shooter is probably the best one I've played.
Yeah, I remember you played that for a little while.
Yeah, I think it actually does a pretty good job. Like, the control scheme seems pretty good. You know, it's, I'm curious how much they're going to keep it the same as desktop Apex. And, you know, there's something I will say, like, and this is something that's been bothering me this week more than most, is it's just like, I really hate how all games have to have like nested currencies now, you know, like, and I feel like Apex is getting more and more currencies as it goes. And it's like, it's so obviously a system designed to like obscure what things cost and waste money. And it's so insidious and it's so like mean spirited. And it's just like, I don't care that things cost money. Like, I think that's fine. I'm down to spend.
Don't hide it.
Yeah. I'm down to spend money on things. Right. You know, it's funny in some ways. I think like, even like Genshin Impact is better about it than most of these other, you know, like a true gacha game at least is like, oh, there's a couple currencies, but you can figure out, you know, you can kind of do the math on what these things cost, right? Where a lot of these other games, and one of the games I'm going to talk about is, you know, it's just so, it's just, yeah, it's so painfully nested in a way that makes it really, really shitty and really makes me not want to participate in any of the, you know, cosmetic systems in them.
It just feels very cynical and like gross and like, yeah, just tell me how much it costs. What is the problem?
Yeah.
Is it because you're ashamed of how much it costs? Then fucking lower the price.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, how can we get someone to spend $200 on an item without them knowing they spent $200 on an item?
That's
right?
Really lame.
It's like, no, you spend $10 and you get this thing. And so you do that once and it's like, I didn't get the thing. And it's like, you can buy the bigger pack for $50 and you get 200 of this thing and 100 of this thing. And it's like, well, that's not going to get me my thing either. You know, like, but you don't know until you like do it and try it. And you're just like
gambling.
It's almost worse than gambling. Cause at least in gambling, you know, the odds.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. And you can win money.
Yeah. And you can win money. But at least when you gamble, it's like, you know, I put in $100, each pull cost me $1. Yeah. And here's how much I win for each option, right? Like, gambling has to be very straightforward in that way, right?
It does.
Like, it's the law, where these games don't. And so it's very much like, you know, it's like if you gambled, but instead of like winning, it would be like, all right, you spent $100 on the slot machine. If you win, we'll give you 9 million casino bucks, right?
Yeah. And with you can go to this slot machine.
Yeah, with 9 million casino bucks, you can play the super slot machine, right? If you win the super slot machine, you could win 100 trillion casino bucks, right? 100 trillion casino bucks. And you could, if you get 9 gajillion casino bucks, we'll buy you a Lamborghini, right? Yeah, exactly. So for $100, you can get a Lamborghini. And you're just like, that sounds amazing. But it's like,
what a good deal.
What a good deal. But it's like, no, you're never going to get there, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's just what it feels like. It just feels so arbitrary and made up. But
that sucks.
And mean. Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's sustainable either. Like, it can't keep going in this direction, you know. It'll eventually, there'll be pushback, either legal or just, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah,
I mean, I think we're, yeah, I think we're facing a world and a culture, at least in this country and probably globally, that is doomed for a pushback that is, I don't know, is not going to feel good. And I think I things agree. like the, things like this are an indicator of it, right? Where it's just, you know, there's just a lot of things I feel like that are kind of boiling underneath that people are being allowed to get away with, right? That society as a whole is not going to accept in the near future.
I agree. Right? You heard it here first, folks.
Here you're first, folks. The gay frogs are coming. Is that what he says? Alex Jones talks about gay frogs or something?
Oh, yeah, that's who knows.
There was really gay frogs, actually. I saw videos.
Well, crazy. Yeah, gay frogs are cool, man. Like, I got a problem
with they frogs. Were making the frogs gay.
That's okay.
You can't. It's not okay to force them to be gay. Let the frogs live their life how they please.
Maybe they're unlocking their true gay potential.
I mean, if that's what's happening, I'm into it, but I don't know if that's what was being implied in the article, but, so another game I played, was a game called Enlisted. Have you seen this?
No, it's such a generic name. If I had seen it, I wouldn't know.
So it's a World War II shooter, and this is the one that really got me upset about currencies. it's made by a company called Gaijin. Mm. You know who they are?
No.
So they make War Thunder.
Oh, that's the airplane game.
You know what that is? Yeah. Well, it's more than the airplane game, because now it's the airplane, tank, and boat game. They have, like, all three in that game.
Okay.
So Enlisted is, like, a first-person shooter. Like, I think it's World War II era. You know, it is World War II era, but it's kind of this weird, like... It's weird. It's a weird game. It's a bad game. I mean, that's kind of what where I'll go with it. Like, I don't think it's great as a shooter. You know, I think it's fine as a shooter.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is... Like War Thunder, also, it is the most cumbersome, like, confusing system, right? The most, like, predatory, like you don't... It's funny because, you know, a lot of these games, like War Thunder too, people are like, you know, free-to-play's fine. It's a slower, but it's not pay-to-win or whatever, right? And I don't disagree with that sentiment, right?
Yeah.
But to do that, you have to fucking, like... read a book about like how these systems work, right? To understand like how to generate these different currencies and how to convert these currencies and what you should be buying with these currencies and what to upgrade and when to upgrade. And or you just pay money and just buy upgrades. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and this is also in that vein. It's kind of insane the way the games, I only played a couple games and I was just not that into it, but you know, you basically have squads, right, that are, like, instead of going into a game as a person, you go into a game with, like a loadout of squads, okay?
Yeah.
And so the squads will, like, come up on, like, a cooldown. And so if you die and the squads are ready, you can choose, like, oh, I have a sniper squad, I have a tank man squad, or I have, like, an infantry squad. And so you can go into that squad and just pick one of those guys in the squad and spawn them. Right.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm gonna be a sniper. I got a sniper squad, so I'll pick one of my snipers out and use him. And you can like level those squads and improve the guns, like change the guns in those squads, and you know, do all these basically like, you know, time and currency sinks, right? For your character, your like global account, your squad levels,
yeah,
their gun level, you know, like there's just like
characters. Yeah, I can imagine.
There's like 9 gajillion different degrees of like micro customization, which might seem good, but the reality is it's all just different grinds to force you to like spend money.
It's all a funnel.
Yeah, and it would be good, I think, if, you know, I think War Thunder, I give it a pass kind of because it's an interesting like flight game, right? Like I think the combat mechanics are good. They did a really good job of making a mouse and keyboard flight game that like makes sense and feels good to fly.
Yeah.
This game just seems like a bad shooter in comparison to other contemporary shooters.
Yeah. There's a lot of good shooters out there. Like that is not a niche, you know, like if you want to compete, you got to really get your shit together.
A lot
Apex,
of
Apex, right? Shooters. I mean, that's why Apex is so fun. Cause it's a damn good shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. I mean, even Modern Warfare, right? Like despite my gripes with Warzone, like I love Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Such a good shooter. Like, yeah, you can't have like a lackluster shooter. Yeah,
Call of Duty has good shooting in it.
Yeah.
If
nothing else. With this expectation, people are going to like grind and invest money in your shooter. You know, I get why people like these kinds of games because you can really just grind yourself to a level that you're just better than everybody. You know, like you're just you're stronger than everybody else, right?
Yeah,
because you've invested the time or whatever. But yeah, it kind of sucks. So who cares? Like, that's kind of my take. Like, the game's not that great, and it has all these hooks that make it cumbersome and kind of unfun to play, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's my hot take on Enlisted.
Enlisted. Okay. Yeah. I will keep an eye out on it and not play it.
Yeah, I would suggest that. I mean, you can play it if... I'm not going to tell you not to play it. I'm just not going to tell you that.
It doesn't. It, like Resident Evil 7 is not in your wheelhouse. This is, and nothing about this sounds appealing to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Did I play anything else this week? Not really. I played actually a little bit of Titanfall 2.
Oh, cool.
But so I didn't get that far.
Did you buy it again or?
No, let's not talk about it.
Okay.
But I didn't get very far. I think I killed like the first like boss dude. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It seems fine. I like the dynamic between your pilot, you know, or your burgeoning pilot and your Titan. You know, I think it's their dialogue is funny. So we'll see where it goes. I haven't really gotten that far into it.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't played either. It just keeps making me think of Attack on Titan, which I've been watching. But that is a different franchise.
Yeah, you're a total weeb now. Like, I never knew you were a weeb, but you're
I don't know. I feel like I watch, like, every anime that gets insanely popular. So, I don't know. I feel kind of like you a poser.
Do. Did you watch My Hero Academia?
No.
I thought you watched every anime that got insane.
I guess
popular.
Not everyone, just a couple. So yeah, anyway, I wouldn't call myself educated in anime. Although, I don't know. Attack on Titan is pretty good.
I don't know. You knew what an isekai was, and that's pretty weeb, bro.
I looked it up.
Sure. You looked it up. Okay. I believe you. You're not a weeb. Don't worry.
I'm not worried. Could be worse.
You seemed a little worried, is all I'm going to say.
All right. Don't protest too much about being a weeb.
I know. Let's take a quick break, and first we'll talk about some Mortal Kombat, then we'll get into the news, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Leo.
Yo.
How much anime did you watch during the break? A lot?
Yeah, I watched Death Note again. I watched Assassination Classroom a couple times.
You know Assassination Classroom? Like, that's pretty weebish. Like, Death Note's not.
That's the first one that came to mind. I don't think I've ever actually seen it, but it's a very memorable name.
You've never seen it, but you know the name of Assassination Classroom?
Yeah, I watched Full Metal Alchemist. I think that's a lot of anime I can name.
Death Note and like Full Metal I get, right? Because those are like insanely huge.
I haven't seen Full Metal Alchemist, to tell you the truth. But
you should watch it. It's really good. The Brotherhood version is like the one you should watch. Yeah. I just put that out there.
All right.
They have like a condensed version. It's called Brotherhood. It's a little different, but it's good. Yeah, you should watch it. It's good anime.
I watched Berserk again.
Don't watch the new Berserk. There's an old Berserk and a new Berserk. The new one is so bad.
I like the new one.
You watched the new one?
Yeah, I watched them both. I got really into Berserk for like a year and read a bunch and watched all the movies and the old and the new.
The new one looks like shit, though.
It did look kind of ugly, but most anime looks ugly. That's why I like Attack on Titan, because it's not
fucking
ugly.
Dare you say most anime looks ugly?
Most of the anime I've seen. I'm sorry. Let me be clear.
Now you're fucking. You got me fucking tilted right now. All right. That is fucked up. That is a fucked up thing to say.
No, like, it's more personal.
I'll never forgive you.
It's not about the quality of the art. It's just personal preference in it.
There is Berserk is like specifically like low quality computer generated anime. And that's why it looks like shit, because it's like a bad cutscene, right? Yeah. That's like way too long.
It reminds me of like Appleseed when they were kind of trying to figure out the like kind of integrating CGI, or even Ghost in the Shell 2, which I think is pretty good, but it was definitely kind of on the fence as far as like implementing CGI. But anyway, this is not the anime podcast.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ones that do it a lot better.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think all hand drawn is so much better, but that's rare to see these days.
Yeah, it's expensive.
But what we are here to talk about is Mortal Kombat, the movie. It is Saturday the 24th, so it just came out yesterday.
Yeah,
we both watched it. We both got our popcorn and
ordered
gave
pizza.
It a look. You ordered a pizza. Oh, man, I'm jealous. I got some Chinese food. But
oh, nice.
But like white Chinese food.
Yeah,
which is like the best. Which is like the best kind. I eat a lot of like.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to say that, but it's good.
So, I mean, I eat a lot of legit Chinese food. Like, don't get me wrong. Like. You know, my old roommates were from Taiwan.
Yeah.
We would get like, you know, where we used to live or work and live, right? Like I've eaten tons of legit Chinese food and I love it. But man, I mean, does anything really compare to like, you know, some like white rice and orange chicken and egg drop soup. Like, it's so 100%. Good.
That's how it's I feel so about Thai food too. Like, I love actual Thai food, but then like pad Thai is fucking awesome. Like, it just like is. I don't care if it's what it is. It's very good.
Like, it's a bastardized design designed to appeal to our Western diet.
Yeah,
right?
It's
like,
the best of both.
It's like, hey, we took this Asian influence and made it so fucking you white people would love the shit out of it. And it's like, it works. It works so well. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, it's so good. Go eat your fucking bitter melons and let me eat some orange chicken, please. Right? That's neither here nor there. Leo, let's just get right into it.
Let's do it.
Like, in a short, like, 30 seconds, what's kind of like your overall take on the movie? I want to get like your kind of your high level first, and then we'll go from there.
I had very low expectations, and rightfully so. I think that was smart. And I was, even so, I was still pretty disappointed by just how aggressively dumb it was. Like, I know the franchise is dumb. That's part of its charm. I understand that. I was not expecting highbrow at all. But even so, it was so aggressively, it just didn't even try and give a shit about the story at all, to the point where it was almost insulting. But outside of that pretty important piece, I enjoyed the fighting, and it was just fun seeing the characters, which was more or less what I wanted. There was things I did like about it, and we can get more into what I liked and disliked specifically. But overall, I'd say it was, after about 24 hours of reflection, I'd say I was disappointed overall. And again, I had pretty low expectations. What about you?
Yeah. So we haven't talked about this at all. So I have no idea what you're going to say. I have a very similar take. I had no expectations for this movie, really. And I thought it was pretty shitty. Like, not like bad in a good way.
Yeah.
Just like bad in a bad way. I like bad movies. So like, that's not the end of the world for me. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I can't watch this.
We watched a lot of bad video game movies and really had fun with some of them.
Yeah. Like, I, and if you watch those videos, Techia Podcast on YouTube, you can find all the links. I liked those movies. Like, for the most part, like, I was very into movies that you even were like, this is just too bad. Right.
Dead or alive.
Yeah. Like, I thought that was fun. Right. Like, I like bad movies. And so in some ways I was like, okay with this, but this was surprisingly bad, especially like for the tone of the trailers and stuff. I was like, oh, they kind of get it. And then as soon as you get outside of those trailers, it's like, oh, they don't get it at all. Like, you know, like, it totally misses on everything Mortal Kombat, right? And you can see it's like an Australian movie, like, you know, at the end, and it feels like an Australian movie, right? Like, no shade to our Australian friends out there, but it doesn't seem like a top tier film made by a top tier production house, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that is funny. I didn't know that, actually, but it is interesting that Kano, who's Australian, was, in my mind, like, by far the most interesting part of the movie. And that is kind of funny. Like, whoever wrote it knew how to write Australians, or I don't know if that actor is actually Australian or not, but it seemed like he was the only one who was having fun, and it really kind of came through because he was great.
And he was the most Mortal Kombat dude there. You know, like he just kind of had the right vibe for
games. Yeah, like, he got it. It feels like he's the only one who actually played. I mean, I don't know, but yeah, he was, every time he was on screen, it was very entertaining. I kept thinking how I really wanted to just see a movie of him and Cabal just hanging out and like committing crimes together in like Mortal Kombat universe. I would love that because they were my favorite parts by far.
Yeah, him and Cabal were the best. Like, when Cabal starts talking, you're like, oh, this is fucking Cabal. Like,
yeah, dude. Like, and he looked cool. Like, I thought they nailed him of all people. Like, who would have thought he'd be in the movie? But I thought he was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Cabal was good too, right? And I think the Kano, like, spoilers, of course, for this whole thing. But yeah,
not that it matters. The story not is that it matters, so right? Inexcusably, like, yeah, they just didn't try it at all.
Yeah, me saying that there's a Kano double cross should not surprise anyone.
I mean, that's literally like the plot of the first game,
Which makes me surprised that anyone was like, why would you ever let Kano into your, like, you know, like.
I'm glad
like
they did, though.
I guess. I mean, they had him locked up, right? Like, Sonya had him locked up. He gets free. She, like, lies and says she'll give him a bunch of money to do something. And then they bring him to this temple, and they're like, now you're fighting for humanity, like, you're a good guy. And it's like, he's like, I'm not a fucking, like, He yeah. told you the whole time he wasn't a fucking good guy.
And then they just like emotionally abuse him until he gets his superpower, and then they're just like, oh my god, he betrayed us.
Yeah.
So stupid.
We gave him laser eyes and he fucking betrayed us.
Yeah. We gave him laser eyes by just being really mean to him. Although that scene was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
I think one of my biggest takeaways was the choices of characters they included was very interesting. I thought
strange.
I thought Shang Tsung was lame as fuck in this movie, which sucks because he's so awesome in the first movie. Yeah, I forget that actor's name, Carrie something, but he was just so great. And he's like just chewing the scenery and his cool like trench coat. I love Shang Tsung in the first movie. And this one, you know, I don't think it was the actor's fault. He just came across as pretty lame and not threatening and pretty like dumb. I thought Goro was great. I didn't like what they did story wise, but I thought he looked really cool.
The whole thing with Goro, like, I think this all comes down to like the main character sucked so bad.
Yeah,
right. Like
it was unbelievable,
unbelievably bad. For one, he's not a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah,
right.
And his special power is he gets a shirt.
Yeah, which looks like a shirt. Like
you're supposed it is. To think he, yeah, I know. It's
like
so you're supposed
to think it's like magic armor, and it's like creasing at his shoulders, right? Like it's a shirt. It's a t. It's like a
it's like one of those shirt. Gold t-shirts you'd see at like a club in like Little Armenia or something. It's very funny. Yeah,
it's a fucking puffy shirt, right? And I don't know, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like in, you know, because he seems like a white guy, right? But maybe he's like Asian American, and that's kind of the thing where he had like the. You know, like his weapons were weird.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, it seemed like we were trying to be like, nah, this is like some like Asian guy. Right. It's like, I don't know if I really think that.
Well, he's a descendant of an Asian guy.
According to the movie.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I guess maybe it wasn't actually factually accurate. You're right. Telling me that they.
I mean, maybe he has is an actor of Asian descent, right?
I think he was.
I think he is too, right? Like that's not surprising, but you know, he was very it's so funny at the end when Ghost Scorpion starts talking to him in Japanese, and I'm just like, is he gonna like learn Japanese right now?
That would have been awesome. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying.
That's what I was hoping would happen because
I don't actually speak Japanese.
This guy's been a moron this whole movie. I was hoping at the end, like, he'd just be like, what? Like,
bro, speak English.
Yeah,
English, like, says some racist bullshit. That would have been hilarious.
And then Hanzo. Fucking America, fucking coronavirus.
Yeah, learn to fucking speak. Yeah. And then Hanzo's like, oh, just, like, fades away back to hell.
No, he just stabs himself in the stomach. Seppuku's.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't like my bloodline. This is what fucking America's turned into. That'd be funny.
Sub-Zero was right. Right?
Like, yeah, damn. He was right to end the bloodline.
Yeah, the main character is atrocious. Like, he's...
Yeah, it was absolutely horrific in terms of just how boring it was. Kind of like Resident Evil 7.
He's unlikable in every scene. You know,
he's
like...
He's lame. He doesn't come across as very competent or, like, he's kind of whiny. Yeah, he's, like, a really unpleasant main character. And I get why they did that. It was, like, to kind of highlight everyone else. But the first movie did such a better job of just make Liu Kang the main character.
Yeah, and it made Liu Kang seem so fucking lame.
Yeah,
right?
That was a weird choice, the direction they took Liu Kang in this movie.
Yeah, he almost seemed like the, you know, like the powerless disciple, right? Like, he was there first, but is not very strong. Right, so he's got to like find these people to become stronger than him because he's just not enough, you know.
And he's like, and he was very over the top the way they portrayed him. It was very like he looked like Liu Kang, and he was fucking ripped and like, you know, the fighting. I think the fighting was pretty good throughout for the most part.
It was fun, yeah,
yeah. Which is, you know, that's obviously probably the most important part. But yeah, it was very strange the way they did him. I think the way they did Sonya and Jax was pretty by the books. Like, none of that was surprising. Although I guess Jax is. Power is that he like grows, he like yeah, enhances,
his robot arms,
he
gets like super robot arms.
Yeah, I mean, the story literally makes no sense, and I mean that by the very low standards of Mortal Kombat, it still makes no sense.
Yeah, but yeah, when I talk about the main character, like, the worst part is then he fucks up Goro, and you're just like,
yeah, just absolutely, yeah,
yeah. Goro's not a fucking clown, dude. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, you can't just be like, oh, everyone else is kicking my ass, but I finally, like, learned about my powers. I finally got my shirt, and then I just fuck up Goro, and then everyone else kicks my ass, too. So Goro is the lowest of the fucking possible low in the hierarchy.
Yeah, you're right, dude. That movie did Goro pretty fucking dirty. I mean, he looked great. I thought they nailed the way his vibe was, and, like, his aggression was cool. But, yeah, he was just, like, cannon fodder.
Hey, Goro's the shit, bro. Unless you hit him in the nuts, like in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, no one can stop Goro.
Like, those were $500 sunglasses, asshole.
Yeah, if he would have caught him with a nut shot, like as an ode to the first movie, then I would have been into it. But not even that. He
like cuts his hand off and stabs him. The end.
Yeah, the end.
It's fucking lame. Yeah. Another character they did dirty was Melina, who I loved. I love Melina. She's awesome. And I thought she looked cool as fuck in this movie. I really liked the way they did her. When she like rips her mouth open, that was cool. And then Sonya just walks in and shoots her at the end. I was like, what? Come on. They didn't even fight. It was just like, everyone just gets their superpowers and wins.
Guns are strong.
So. Well, it wasn't even a gun.
Oh, she used her hand beam.
Her weird, like, circular hand beam that just, like.
Hand beams are strong, too, though.
Apparently. Yeah, that was very disappointing. It was like, the characters they did nail as far as tone and aesthetic and casting, they just didn't do anything interesting with. Except Scorpion and Sub-Zero and, you know, I thought framing the movie with their struggle was kind of fun, and I enjoyed the way they presented them for the most part.
Honestly, I think if this whole movie was like a prequel Scorpion Sub-Zero movie, it would have been so much better.
I agree with you.
Because I think that opening scene was like pretty good.
That was by far the strongest. That scene and the Kano scenes, that's really all you need to see.
Yeah, like, so if we had a longer movie exploring their, like, conflict over the ages or something, right? Yeah, like,
totally.
I would have been really into that, but what we got was fucking pretty weak, man. Like, I don't know.
I think it really misses, at least what I really like about Mortal Kombat, which is, yes, it's dumb. I keep saying that just because, like, I'm aware of that, and my expectations are very in line with that. It really is part of its charm. It's very self-aware. And gratuitous on purpose. Tongue is firmly in cheek with this franchise. That said, there are some visually compelling aspects of it. Like, I love the idea of Outworld and the idea of this parallel dimension and these, like, scary monsters from that dimension are always trying to invade ours. That's so cool. And a lot of those characters are really interesting looking. And there's 30 years of Mortal Kombat lore at this point. Like, there's some cool stuff in there. Genuinely cool stuff. And there's no reason you couldn't pull in, like, the cool visual elements and the really sort of surreal magic and, like, yeah, and the hyper-violence and the silliness. And this movie didn't really do any of that. It really was very by the books and, like, very surface-level Mortal Kombat in a way that was pretty, just, I don't know, a lot of wasted potential, I think.
Having them do their Mortal Kombat 1 fatalities as, like, the homages to the game, I thought, were fucking horrendous, right? Like, the way people announced, like, their fatality, like, you know, fatality, like, oh, flawless, Kung Lao, flawless victory. Like, you can't say that about yourself. You're not the fucking announcer, bro. Like, you know, that's not how this works.
Well, at least that was a flawless victory. In the first movie, he says it, and he got his fucking ass beat. So I'm like, you can't just say after getting fought, at least he never gets hit. But yeah, I hear you. I totally hear you.
Those moments took me out of the movie, like, immediately, like dead stop. I was just like, oh, like, you know, you're just eyes roll. It's like, why do you need to do this? Like, this doesn't, it's so unnecessary to to announce these things, right? Like, the audience is smart, right? So the audience, the people that know what you're doing, don't want to hear it. And the people that don't know, don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
100%.
Like, so you don't.
It's just trying to be cute in a way that's, like, really self-indulgent and unpleasant, I think.
Yeah, this movie needs. There's a lot of places in this movie you could have had more fun, and this is not the place. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
It's totally doesn't make any sense. The other thing I really hated about this movie is there's no Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no tournament. They don't go to a fucking tournament.
Yeah, they're probably saving that for the sequel, but yeah, you're right. The whole thing is like a pre-tournament where they're trying to... Basically, the plot is, for what it is like Outworld, led by Shang Tsung, is trying to basically murder everyone so that they can't fight in the tournament. And they're basically cheating, and that's the whole movie, is them being attacked and then defending themselves, the end.
Well, then they decide that they're going to kill everyone.
Yeah, at the end.
Right? They're like, we're going to split them up and then kill them.
Yeah.
And then we'll win the tournament at the end, right? Like, but yeah, there's no fucking tournament. I want to see, I love a good tournament. Show me the tournament. I mean, that right?
is kind of the whole thing.
It's all based around the tournament. You're getting ready for the tournament, and there's a no fucking tournament, which I was immensely disappointed by, right?
By the time there's only 20 minutes left, you're like, whoa, this tournament better show up quick, because
it's going to be snappy. That's just for see sure. You
like checking your watch, like, hey, man, come on, where's the tournament? Yeah, I thought there was time left. What the fuck, bro?
I was very sad about the tournament. And yeah, the production wasn't very good. We've said it all, but yeah, the main character was the worst part of this movie. By far.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall it was pretty bad, even again by my low standards. The few things I liked, though, there were a few things. Like I said, I think the character design was pretty cool for the most part. Like, it felt modern, but also really, you know, kind of did capture the essence of some of those characters, which is cool. And yeah, some of the fight scenes were cool. The violence seemed pretty tame, honestly. Like, I know they kind of were... Like, there's the one fatality, the Kung Lao one's pretty gross, but even that was, like, maybe I'm just desensitized by the games, but it didn't really, like, lean into the absolute over-the-top grotesquery of modern Mortal Kombat either. So that was kind of disappointing. I was like, well, you didn't even get that right, really, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was not good. Even the fatality, yeah, it was just lame. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, like, you know... continue to beat up on it. GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10.
I think a lot of people liked it, which is kind of surprising.
I found it very surprising too.
Kano was great, but he's only in it for just give me Kano, Cabal, Scorpion, Sub-Zero movie. Take everyone else out, and it's just those four like on adventures. That would be fucking cool. And they go to Outworld.
Yeah, it would be good. I'm into it. What if the four of them are they hunt big monsters? And then wear their skin
and Nemesis is there.
And Nemesis is there. And he's the first one they fight. I thought Sub-Zero was good, too. I like Sub-Zero a lot. Like, I thought, visually, I think the movie was great. I think the effects for Sub-Zero were super cool, right?
Yeah, like when he shoots him and he just freezes all the bullets, that was cool.
Yeah. But it makes me, like, every time I think of something cool, I think of something so bad in this movie.
Yeah.
In the last fight, when Sub-Zero freezes the main dude's family, right? Yeah. And then Scorpion shows up to, like, help him. Scorpion's fighting Sub-Zero, and the main dude is just punching the ice.
He's just punching his wife.
Yeah, he's just punching her ice cube for the whole time that Scorpion and Sub-Zero are fighting, right? Like, he could just help end the fight, but instead he's just like, you can see him in the background just like, just punching the ice, doing
for
nothing.
And for some reason, it all went, why did they go to his gym?
Yeah.
Because Sub-Zero teleported them there, right? Because Sub-Zero teleports in, which I guess he can do now, and he shows the thing, and then the dude chases him into the portal, and they end up at his gym. Why? Why would Sub-Zero want to fight him in his gym?
They already built the set.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know. That's the obvious answer. We'll just cover it in plastic. But it was just shit like that where it was like, dude, I understand that, like, it's a Mortal Kombat movie, but you got to at least pretend to try.
Yeah. Do something.
Where it's like, how are we going to get there? My friend has an airplane. Okay. Next shot is they're just on an airplane. Shit like that. It's like, dude, it's so lazy. But anyway. Well, I guess my last question is, how would you compare it to the original, which I still really like? The less said about MK2, the better the movie. But
yeah, I mean, it's clearly worse than the original, right? Like, I think
a lot of people disagree.
I think the original was fun, right? I think the original like was way more self-aware than this movie is.
I agree, and it's more tonally, I feel like, accurate, which is odd for a movie so old now. Like, got it more in a lot of ways.
It's doing Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean? And it's funny because this movie being rated R and the first one not, like, you would think that, like, being able to be more like Mortal Kombat would somehow benefit this movie.
It could have.
I feel like they just squandered that completely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I do think those moments are, like, when he tears Jax's fucking arms off and that stuff, you're just like, this fucking movie's intense. Like, let's go.
That part was cool.
But it never really pays off. You know what I mean? Like, it never really has weight or it really matters. Like, only like Kung Lao and the bad guys die, right? Like, And Kung Lao doesn't even die cool. He just gets his soul sucked out. You know, like...
Yeah, nothing's even done with that. Like, he doesn't turn into Kung Lao or anything. He just goes, ah, oh, you guys won this time, but I'll be back.
Yeah, like, if Sonya got fucking ate or chopped in half or something, yeah. Right? Like, I think that would have had an impact, right? You'd have been like, damn, this is, like, an important character that they just fucking chopped up, you know? But instead, it's like, no, the good guys live. And only bad guys that just showed up, right? Like,
yeah, and who, like, never got any lines.
Yeah, who never got lines just fucking die and get fatalities to them. And it's like, so none of it really matters. It's obviously, we just bring these people in here for the you know, for the gag, right? Yeah. And you know, it's it just felt weak, right?
I agree. And it was, there was even weird things, like missed opportunities, like where the guy with the weird guy with the hammer, who I don't think that's a character I've ever heard of. When he fights Jax and the camera zooms in and they're over the pit, right? Which is a really iconic.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, and then nothing. He just smashes his head and leaves. I was like, dude, you're on like the most iconic level in the franchise and you didn't like even touch it. It's just, it was very, it felt like a lot of missed opportunity. And the first one, as dumb and ridiculous as it is, really leaned into like, you know, the sets are really over the top and like smoky and Outworld and like, yeah, the special effects aren't very good by today's standards, but it's just more fun. And like, I feel like it gets the zany, like tongue-in-cheek tone a little bit more. And if you combine that tone with the hyper violence and the better, clearly better fighting of the new one, that would have been an ideal mashup, I think. But
that is I agree. I think that would have been way more fun, right? Yeah. Like having the rated R, being able to show the things they show, being able to show fatalities play out and swear and be crude, but still be like fun and like goofy, right? Like, I think that's where the first one really shines, right? Is that it's like, it's a fun watch. And this is trying so hard to be like, so hard to be hardcore, you know what I mean? And it's like, no, it's not. And I agree. Like, the bridge thing, especially after these fuckers are announcing their fatalities and flawless victories, but you won't show someone fall into the pit, you know? It's just like, it's like, did you watch, did you play the game, or did someone tell you that flawless victory is a thing, right? Because it seems like you're missing on a lot of obvious shots.
Or maybe a lot of it just got cut for budget, or like, it kind of has that vibe to it too, where it's like, well, we wanted to put that in, but we couldn't, so we just had to reshoot the scene. You know, I bet there's some shit like that in there, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't help the movie.
Yeah, I feel like HBO has to do better. Right. Yeah. I know they probably bought this movie, right? But if you're going to bring it to your streaming service as like your movie, and like, you know, I feel like when movies are in the theater, we don't necessarily tie them to these like specific companies, right? Like, if this movie came out in the theater and sucked, I wouldn't be like, HBO, you need to fucking get it together.
Get your shit together. Yeah.
But now that it's like their streaming platform, like, here's one of our marquee movies for the summer, like, and you watch it and you're like, this shit is not good.
Yeah. Like, you guys made The Wire. Like,
yeah.
What?
You guys made 6 good seasons of Game of Thrones, and this is what you're going to fucking put out, right? Like, it's, I mean, more, maybe 5, but regardless, it's
5.5.
The quality of this movie does not seem high, you know?
Agreed.
And I think in this day and age when Netflix makes productions that look beautiful and incredible, right? And then you look at this and you're like, it's pretty good. It probably costs some money to make, but
it's $50 million, which is actually pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's really cheap. And all the actors are unknown.
Yeah.
Except for, I think Shang Tsung was, he's in other things, right? And I'm sure all these people are in something, right? But in general, there's no high profile actors in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, the effects are good, which I assume is where the budget went. But outside of that, the production does not look good.
Yeah. Right. Agreed. The acting is not good.
Yeah. So, not a huge fan, I guess, is my take.
No, away. I think the more I think about it, I still think the first one's better. There's elements about this I liked, but yeah, it's definitely not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination. Still way better than the second one, but that's like a very low bar. Very low bar indeed.
How many Johnny Cages would you give this out of 10?
I don't know. I don't like Johnny Cage, so I feel like the more I give it, the less I like it. So I'm going to say 7 out of 10 Johnny Cages, because I do not like Johnny Cage.
So that's 3 bananas out of 10. Okay.
That's correct, yeah.
I would probably give it... I'd probably give it 5 Johnny Cages out of 10, right? I think...
50%, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I kind of half like this movie, right? Like,
I think that's fair. There was honestly, a few times where I was like, whoa, that was fun and cool. But yeah, that was definitely a few times. And there were way more times where I was like, why? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for Scorpion and Sub-Zero, who I thought were cool.
Yeah.
Because at least, they, like, and I mean, Kano is cool.
It was just fun. It was nice to have someone who was having fun on set, I guess.
He was fun. I thought Scorpion and Sub-Zero were, like, fucking, like, cool martial arts cool.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
They brought me back to, like, Kung Fu movie days.
Yeah, they brought me back to, like, Mortal Kombat games, where you're like, whoa, these ninjas are, these, like, fucking ninjas with superpowers are awesome.
Yeah,
they did have that vibe for sure.
That's what I got to the superpower ninjas when he's swinging around the kunai on the rope in the beginning and he's chopping everybody up. Cool. It's like, oh, this is some fucking anime shit. Like I'm so into this, right?
Agreed.
And that fades away so fast, and what you're left with is a shitty MMA fighter that is completely forgettable in a puffy gold t-shirt, right? Like
punching his wife.
Yeah, punching. Yeah, it's like fuck this man. Like fuck this.
I'd love to hear though if any of y'all listening liked it or disliked it. I'd be interested to hear other people's opinions, because as usual, it sounds like we kind of had very similar opinions on it. But I'd love to hear from someone who really liked it, just to hear what they liked about it or what connected with them that we feel like we're missing.
Yeah, I've been dying to dunk on this movie, but like I don't know who's gotten to watch it yet, because it's only a day out, and I don't want to be
you gotta wait at least a week.
And this part sucked. And this part sucked. And, you know, like, I want people to be able to watch it without me fucking, you know, tainting it for them, like, from the get-go. But, you know, that's a streaming culture. You gotta fucking, it's all right away. You don't watch it.
Get on it.
You don't get the 0 hour. You're fucking behind the schedule. Well, I'm gonna go watch the Demon Slayer movie tomorrow, so hopefully that'll cleanse my palate and give me something much better to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's again pretty low bar. It'd probably be better.
People love the Demon Slayer movie, bro. So
yeah, Japanese people sure seem to like it.
In America too, the reviews are stellar. So I'm excited. Are they?
Cool. No, that's great. I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, people said I might cry, and I am a crybaby, so it could happen. You know?
Did you cry during Mortal Kombat?
I'm trying to think if I did cry.
I don't know when you would have.
I cried when the lizard died.
I cried when Natara got fucking chopped in half.
Yeah, I only like the lizard.
You mean
reptile? I don't know if he's supposed to be reptile, but
yeah, definitely. That's why he goes invisible and spits acid and does his tongue attack.
I understand that, but he was not reptile. He was like a dog lizard.
No, he looked like reptile in like Deception. But anyway.
He's just a little lizard monster. Like he couldn't wear a ninja outfit. Doesn't reptile wear a ninja suit?
Sort of, yeah. Well, anyway, we don't
need
to get into... In the games,
he looks like Sub-Zero and Scorpion. He's just the other color.
Yeah, he was a palette swap in the original, but he pretty quickly turned into, like, an actual lizard monster by the end.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone only played, like, the first three MKs and forget that there's, like, 20 years after that.
Yeah, MK3 was the last one I played a lot.
And then yeah,
the
new exactly. Ones and that was, like, 1995.
Well, this movie posits itself as...
Yeah, that's true.
An like origin. OG minus Johnny Cage for some reason. Okay, before we end. I'm sorry, I forgot something.
No, it's all good.
What about the fucking Johnny Cage teaser at the end?
It was very weird.
So fucking weird. Like, what the fuck is?
I don't know. It's like everyone thinks that everyone wants to see Johnny Cage, but nobody cares about Johnny Cage.
Nobody gives a shit. You know, I think it only would have been cool if he was like Ryan Reynolds or something, right? Like a really famous actor that people would have been like, what the fuck this guy's gonna be, you know what I mean? Like I think that would have been interesting.
That would have been fucking awesome if it was Ryan Reynolds would be a great Johnny Cage,
actually. A great Johnny Cage. He'd be an amazing Johnny Cage. But having it just be like
some
the
guy.
Name Johnny Cage, like,
well, and you even, know it's gonna be- even when he just said like going to Hollywood, I was like, oh, that's kind of a cute reference. And then they had to pan over to a poster that says Johnny Cage. I like, even if he had just left it at the Hollywood thing, that would have been a subtle nod instead of a, oh my God, aren't you excited to see Johnny Cage? Like, not really, bro.
I thought maybe, like, when he first started going to Hollywood, I thought maybe he was going to be Johnny Cage.
That was my other thought, which actually kind of would have been interesting. Like, I'm going to take on a screen name.
Yeah, like, that would be a stage name, and he kind of alter his style, and, you know, like, I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, especially, like, we're playing at this Asian-American thing, like, Asian-American, like, you know, Hollywood heartthrob actor, you know, like, filling that role. But they didn't, none of that happened. It's just like, Johnny Cage is coming, everybody. It's like, oh God.
Of all the people You think I want to see fucking Johnny Cage? Like, that's what I'm saying. Mortal Kombat's so deep with weird, like, cool, creepy characters, and they... Yeah, it was very weird.
I'm going to... I live in Hollywood. Johnny Cage isn't here, so...
Yeah, it's all a fucking lie.
I would suggest turning around, because...
there ain't nothing for you here.
There's nothing for you here, buddy. All right, we spent our whole time talking about the movie, so we're not going to do any news.
That's okay. This was really the only important news anyway.
That's all I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We would love to hear what you thought about Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Or Johnny Cage.
Or Johnny Cage, for that matter. Tech Yeah Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. TechYapPodcast@gmail.com is the email you can reach us at. You can find everything else on our website, TechYapPodcast.com. We love you guys. We appreciate your time. And thank you so much for listening. Go and play some games or watch some movies. Boom.